Welcome back to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Noxon, and on the phone right now, joining me is Ms. Amy Dowell. Ms. Dowell is with an organization called Education Reform Now CT, and we're going to talk about a new program that they are launching called Right to Read. Amy, welcome back to Talk of the Town.
Thank you so much for having me again, Steve.
Always a pleasure, always a pleasure. Pandemic has created and exposed a lot of weaknesses in our education system, including literacy. I was actually just reading over the weekend that there's some parents who are complaining that their kids are actually forgetting how to read, which I think is more on the parents than anything else. But it is a major, major issue and is a major stumbling block to attaining a quality education, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I don't even think we're really scratching the surface of kind of the impact that it's had on children and their education over this last year. So, you know, now is the time to take some bold action.
And this is a problem that was in the system already before the COVID-19 pandemic hit, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, there has been a substantial amount of research around how children learn to read. So, you know, some of it has to do with maybe circumstances in the home, but a vast majority of the issue lies in the fact that reading instruction is a very specific skill. And we as a state and many places around the country are just not preparing teachers to teach literacy in the way that children cognitively learn to read. So it's a little bit of a disconnect. And what we're seeing are systemic issues around student opportunity and learning. And we're seeing it very starkly here in Connecticut. And so we think this is an opportunity for the state to really take a hard look at what we're doing and change course.
Why is this such a major issue now? It seems that this is something that has become a problem over the last couple of decades. We used to do, a pretty good job in our schools of teaching people the fundamentals.
You know, some of this is a little bit about, like, the fads that go on in schools. But let's just talk specifically about this year. So what's happening right now is that there are a lot of kids who are home right now in front of their parents sitting at the kitchen table, or they're on a Zoom call for school, or they're not going to school full time, or maybe some haven't even been in school at all this year. And what parents are seeing all over the place is children are struggling to learn to read the very, very basics in this remote kind of setting. It's just extremely challenging. You know, learning to read involves, at its very core, its fundamental, you know, skill is to be able to sound out a word and use those phonetic skills to really understand how to sound out a word and then, you know, blend those sounds together and understand what a word is. You know, you can't comprehend what you're reading until you actually are able to sound it out. So that seems basic, but we are using curriculum programs in districts all over the state. Most districts all over the state are using curriculum programs that are not based in that science and in that research. And so parents are seeing that right now. They're sitting with their children trying to read, and they're recognizing, okay, something is off here. This is now I learned to read. There's also, you know, a really important conversation going on around our country and here in our state around racial inequity. And we know that children of color here in Connecticut are not reading at the same level that their white counterparts are, and we need to ask the hard questions why. So those are some of the things that are going on. And I'll just point out one more thing, which gets so much attention here in Connecticut, this workforce development effort. We are watching our governor and our state leaders talk a lot about workforce development. We need a pipeline of employees. And the reality is that in our public colleges here in Connecticut, 50% of all students that end up here in our public colleges and universities require some remedial coursework in the first 2 years they're there. And what do we know about that? Look, college is about critical thinking. It's about reading text and analyzing it and coming up with independent thoughts and putting it down on paper. And if your reading skills aren't there, that is requiring excess costs and more dropouts.
So this Right to Read initiative, where did this, obviously I know where the idea came from, but where did the some of these initiatives initiate?
Yeah, so we are, you know, following the footsteps of a lot of other states that have taken an initiative on this. Right to Read CT is a coalition of partners that have gotten together to work on this issue. So this includes the Commission on Women, Children, Seniors, Equity, and Opportunity here from the state. We're also working with Ready CT, which is affiliated with CBIA. We're working with two literacy groups called Literacy How and Hill for Literacy, which are in the schools working with educators right now. So, you know, and our coalition is building. We are blown away by the support that we've had in the legislature already for this work. So it really came about through many, many years of state leaders working on these issues. But, you know, the time right now is so critical for students. I think the urgency is really taking hold. Yeah.
Yeah, and because we've spoken to the superintendent of schools here in Waterbury a couple of times since the beginning of this pandemic. And one of the things that we've talked a lot about is how they've had to change the curriculum. They've had to change how they're teaching. We just had the mayor of Waterbury here in the last half hour talking about difficulties in keeping kids' attention while they're learning remotely. Nobody can sit in front of a computer for 4 or 5 hours at a time and actually be expected to maintain any sense of attention during that, and it's even harder to expect that from our kids. So is a part of this program kind of changing the curriculum a little bit so we can maybe improve our distance learning?
So our, you know, I don't think there's any replacement for being inside a classroom. That is a big hurdle. And, you know, to expect a 7-year-old to sit at a computer all day or learn remotely, you know, there's just a lot that's lost in translation through a screen. And you know, we recognize that. We were sensitive to that. And I think educators and school leadership all across the state are doing their very, very, very best. I mean, this is hard. What this really does is set it up for when students go back. So when students go back, there's going to be, we can assume, a very significant amount of learning loss going on. And, you know, we can, you know, kind of throw up our hands and say, well, you know, we just survived a pandemic and it is what it is. But that's really not fair to children. Children need to, you know, be held to, you know, these high standards and be given every opportunity to succeed and be, you know, to be educated citizens. And so, you know, we're thinking about kind of what's coming down the pipe. This isn't a quick fix. This is a long-term fix for how we teach literacy and how we affect change in our state. So this is about recognizing that there are curriculum programs that work better than others because they're rooted in research. And so we need to be using those in every school district. Right now, we are not here in Connecticut. We need to do more professional development, getting our teachers up to speed, making sure that we're using some of these federal dollars that are coming into our state in the next couple of months in a really productive way by getting our teachers up to speed. And the other piece of this is we know that 80% of all special education diagnoses in our state are related to reading. So we are spending a lot of money on this. And it's important that we spend money on special education needs, but we also recognize that if teachers and educators were better trained in identifying reading issues and the instruction was more research-based, that we would have likely less students in special education, particularly English learners.
Now, part of the, when in the press release here, it talks a couple of times about the science of reading, and you just said that, you know, set these classes up and this training up based on literacy research. So what would this effort look like?
So the idea would be that we would have, first of all, we have an intensive reading program that has been piloted here in our state for many years, and it is extremely successful, but it is extremely underfunded. I mean, I can't stress that enough. We are not giving enough money and resources to this important effort. So it would expand this intervention program, program, so it would coordinate the instruction that's going on in teacher preparation programs so that every teacher that graduates here in Connecticut with a degree is able to go into a public school and teach is trained in this science of reading so that they understand how a child actually learns to read, you know, sounding out those words and understanding, having that phonemic awareness of how the brain translates sounds into words. That really is one of the more important things that we can do. And supporting schools with the application of some of these programs. So making sure that teachers are trained, they have the opportunity to understand more about how this works, and then applying it in the classroom.
Yeah, and I think, again, you know, going back to the original point that we were making here, this is such a basic skill, such a fundamental skill that everything else that we're trying to teach our kids relies upon.
It's
amazing we haven't spent more effort and more attention, put more attention and effort into resolving this, knowing how poor these numbers were even prior to the pandemic.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think everybody is recognizing and being sensitive around, and I think it's important, is you know, people keep talking about the social emotional learning of students. You know, what's going on with students emotionally right now? You know, they're lonely. They're cut off from their friends. They're cut off from their routines. But we have to recognize also that, you know, finding success in the classroom for a student is a huge social and emotional boost. So we need to help give kids the keys to their own success, kind of set them up for success, and that hopefully will help them, you know, with that social emotional piece that everybody is so focused on right now. So you know, it touches every part of a student's life, you know, from disciplinary issues. You know, we see a big spike in disciplinary issues in fourth grade. Why? Because students, that's kind of where the rubber hits the road. You're reading, their schoolwork gets more intense. If you're falling behind and you can't keep up with the lessons that are in writing, you know, this is a systemic issue. So, so we see this as an investment in Connecticut's future and the students.
One of the other things that the kids are missing out on by not being in school is, and this is one of the things that I just remember enjoying so much about being in elementary school, is being able to go to the library and see all of the books and being able to go through all of the books and, you know, finding a couple that I could take home with me for a couple of days and read, you know, by myself. And with these kids not being in class, how are they getting any access to any reading materials?
You know, some districts have done a really good job of trying to continue to get books into the students' hands, and but it is not the same feeling, and, you know, that same sensory feeling of going into the library and smelling that library smell.
Yeah,
and all the books,
and finding the book I want, not the one they want me to read.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's an important part of it, but, you know, that's almost like the second chapter of what we're really talking about, which is, you know, once you have those incredible basic literacy skills, then, you know, think how, you know, your mind is open to being able to walk into that library and choosing whatever strikes your fancy. So, you know, we see this as kind of like the foundation of that feeling. And we would like to make sure that every child, you know, for every kid who walks into the library with, like, you know, their heart pounding, like, oh, I'm going to get that book that I really wanted, you know, whatever it is. You know, there's that kid who's walking in there and saying, wow, I don't know if I can read all the titles on the bridge. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing our part and, you know, and focusing in on that so that we can have more kids walking into that library with that, you know, heart pounding feeling.
Yeah, and it's not even just in the schools. I mean, it's every aspect of their lives. I mentioned earlier on that kids are forgetting how to read, and I think that's just such a sad commentary, because it's like, wait a second, as a parent, you know, you should be a part of that process. You shouldn't be leaving it up to the education system entirely to teach a kid to read. You know, so why is that happening? Are there any parts of this Right to Read CT initiative that would include, you know, speaking with parents and making them a part of this process?
Yeah, you know, I think most parents, learn how to read, and they're saying, look at this picture, and look at this, you know, does this word look familiar? Well, that's actually not reading. What's reading is to sound out the word. But I know that as a parent, and I think most parents do, but if your school is coming home and sending you materials that are kind of, you know, not aligned with how a child actually learns to read, you're kind of setting up a lot of families for failure. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of, you know, recognize that. I think more parents are sitting with their kids and reading than we recognize. This is such a hard time for families. I kind of want to give everybody a little bit of a pass here because, you know, between working and homeschooling and making sure that, you know, you're healthy right now, you know, it's and keeping food on the table, it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. No argument there whatsoever.
I know
that you know we get people on every once in a while to talk about the reading weeks and reading to your kids at an early age and how important that is and reading with your child, not just to your child. And you know, there's so much that parents can do to be a part of this process. If the school is teaching this way, I remember my wife tells a story all the time about when she was growing up, her father taught her how to do long division in a certain way. And then she went to school, and one math teacher was just telling her, was failing her because she was doing it wrong. She was getting the right answer, but she was doing it in a way that the teacher hadn't taught her. She was doing it in the way her father had taught her. So
right.
I could see kind of the conflict there. If they're sending home materials that you feel aren't actually, you know, effective in getting your kids, teaching your kids to read.
Yeah. And I can't stress to you enough, it's happening all over the state. And we're talking about, you know, wealthy districts and less resource districts. It's kind of all over the map here.
Hmm. Now, one of the things on this list, too, is establishing a Center for Literacy Research and Reading Success. Could you briefly describe what that would look like?
Yeah, so this would be an independent, agency to oversee this work. You know, we kind of need to take this work and keep it in isolation. So it's independent. You know, one of the things that we need to do is some, you know, additional oversight and make sure that things are working correctly. And I think what we've had right now is that, you know, the challenge is, you know, you're at, you know, say you're in the Department of Education, you're working on this issue, and then, you know, we have a new commissioner come in or a new governor come in and things, priorities change. We want to kind of inoculate it, you know, so that it's sort of on its own and able to continue regardless of who's in power. That's sort of, you know, one of the things that would help with. The other piece of this is, there is a federal grant program right now. It started under the Obama administration. It's rolling out over the last 2 or 3 years. It's giving hundreds of millions of dollars away to states. That money would go directly to districts to provide professional development, curriculum support, et cetera. But we need to kind of set ourselves up here in Connecticut for those resources. And so that center is really an independent agency to get us sort of prepared to accept those resources and to disseminate them and apply for them. So that's really what that is. It's you know, it's a little weedy, but basically, you know, we want to make sure that this program has integrity for years. Not, you know, it's not a flash in the pan, you know.
Yep. So this you had a forum last Friday about this?
Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah.
And is there a video of that people can go watch if they wanted to see them in the conversation? Maybe not be a part of it, obviously, but...
Yes. So it's on the Facebook page of the Connecticut Commission on Women, Children, Seniors, Equity, and Opportunity. There was a Facebook Live, and it featured a number of the legislators who are involved in this work. The legislator who introduced this piece of legislation, Patricia Billy Miller, Rep Miller from Stanford, and also the majority leader in the House, Jason Rojas from East Hartford, and Brandon McGee as well.
Nice. Well, this sounds like a really fascinating project, and I know it's something that, as we mentioned a couple times already, is probably the most basic of foundations for everything else we want our kids to learn as they go through life and to be informed citizens as well. The website for the Right to Read Connecticut Initiative?
Yes, righttoreadct.org.
Well, Amy, I want to thank you again very much for joining me here on the show. I really appreciate the efforts of your group, Education Reform Now, CT. I wish you great success with this project, and hopefully we can start turning some of these numbers around.
Thank you, Steve. Stay safe in the storm.
You too, Amy. Stay warm. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. And we are going to take another break, and we'll be back to close out today's talk.